So it's Memorial Weekend, and I wanted to make sure that I just said a few things. I don't know why, but for this year I'm particularly tender about this time of year. I was just remembering the man I was named after, my uncle, who died flying over the Himalayas as a pilot to supply the front lines during World War II, and they named me after him. And I was thinking of another uncle that I had that also died. He was at the Battle of the Bulge, and he was serving in Europe, and he died partially because of things that happened during the war. And so he just died shortly after World War II. And I was just thinking about that, and I just think, especially in this time when we're considering our liberties and our liberty, you know, I think freedom is such a big deal, and it becomes a really big deal when you feel it's limited in some way. And we lived in such a great and grand land for so long. And so I think I'm feeling a little bit tender. I was just thinking about the, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance. I used to say as a little kid, which I understand they've taken out of some schools or most schools maybe even. But one part of it is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So I like that part about the one nation under God part. And that truly is the way God made us, and that is our first calling, one nation under God. But our forefathers founded this nation on that premise, that they came to serve God with liberty and freedom. And so freedom rings all through our culture. And whenever things challenge freedom or stifle it in any way or even threaten it, I think there's a visceral reaction of the nation, because it was what we were founded for. Religious freedom basically founded this nation. And those are the facts. They're historical. However you want to distort them, you really, you know, you could try, but you can't. Because this is the backbone. This is how our nation was started. And so it reverberates through. It's the foundation stone. And all of those that fought through the years, man, I was thinking about this. It's always been, the wars have always been the same. It's always been against some tyrannical power. It's always been overreach of government. Governments trying to control and trying to destroy. And at the bottom line, godly societies and freedom. And so we've been at the forefront of those wars, and our people have suffered greatly to preserve this lifestyle, this grace that we have, this love we have for God, and this ability to love God, and the freedom that we have. And so I don't know. I think a lot of us feeling a little tender right now about Memorial Day and what it means and what it's meant to us through the years. And Lord, we just thank you again for all those that are serving. I think it's very interesting that Eisenhower was the one that arranged Congress to add the words "under God." Isn't that interesting? I didn't know that in 1954. And the reason why he did it was because our nation was under the fear of communism. And it was a strong time of threat with nuclear weapons abounding and stuff. And he put it in, the Congress voted that year to put the words "under God." I thought it was from way back, but even as recently as 1954. And so, Lord, we declare today we are one nation under God. One nation under God, indivisible. And we declare liberty and justice for all. And we want to thank you for all the soldiers. I'm thinking of my son's service, how proud we are for him to be in the Marines, and how well he did. And Lord, we just thank you for all of our sons and our daughters and our fathers and our mothers that have served our nation with such fierce loyalty and such grace. We thank you, Lord, and we give appreciation for them today, the ones that are still alive and the ones that died. We just thank you for all of them. Firefighters at Ground Zero, and those that are on the front lines of COVID-19, we thank you for them right now, these first responders. Lord, they are fighting for our freedom, and we just so appreciate them. Amen. All right, wonderful. So we've had some very specific leading. I think I told you when I was broadcasting by myself that we were just waiting on the Lord, and when he said go or change, we'd change. And meanwhile, we were just resting, and also I think I alluded to the just general confusion that's everywhere, you know, and the facts being distorted this way and that way and all of that. But I think we've come to a measure of peace. And so what we decided to do is we're going to open next weekend. We're going to have our Saturday night services, our Sunday morning service. We actually will have a Sunday night Pentecost service, like we said, which will be online, and we can, and we'll have some special arrangements for that, and then also Monday night. And so we're going to give you some very specific things. I don't want to talk about it right now in too much detail, other than we just have to say that there's a couple of big things. First of all, we're limited in how many people we can have in the room. So we figure there's about 150 we can have, and that's nowhere close to our capacity or what we could have, but we're going to have to limit it to that. We have a new seating arrangement that we're doing, and just to get the spacing right. Also, we're paying a tremendous attention on our hygiene and everything with regard to disinfection around here, as well as we want to be careful about how we greet one another and all the things. We kind of are a very affectionate church, so we're going to have to be careful how we shake hands and do the elbow bump and all of that. And but one of the most the biggest challenges for us to open is that for our services is, first of all, not going too fast. So we're just going to go. It's a kind of a big change, and we're just going to go slow. And one thing that we cannot do is we can't do children's ministry yet, so we haven't figured that out. So you're welcome to bring kids, especially older kids. I think if your younger kids are running around, are going to be. It's going to be hard for us to do that. So it'd probably be hard for us to handle younger ones. Older children, and certainly junior high and high school, I think we can handle, and we'll probably dismiss the junior high and high school on to their own thing as well. And we may have to have a spillover, but we might not. We haven't figured that out yet. Like I said, you're just going to have to be patient with us so we can figure it all out. So it's going to take us a little while to get all the detail of this. But one thing we'll have to do is we'll have to limit this to about 150, I think, is how many chairs we have in here now, 155, and we're going to have to limit that for every service. So Saturday night might be a great option. It's always been a little less attended, and also Monday night might be a good option. But if there are any more than that, we'll either have to have an overflow room, or we'll just you won't be able to come in the door. So we're going to enforce that fairly rigorously. And as we go on and move on, we'll see. We'll grow. I think of us like a little flower. I always think of the will of God like a flower. Just got to know that you're supposed to open. And then it just gradually opens into the full beauty, and we see what the Lord has for us. And I think over our area, things are changing. One thing, there's some facts that are really important for all of us to understand. And so if you're a little older like me, you're sitting by the TV set watching like a hawk. Should just ask all the old dudes what the rules are and where the COVID virus is right now and all that, because, you know, it's a little bit of self-preservation, because truly the most vulnerable population is the older population. That's really important to know, which is good news and bad news. Bad news for all of us that are edging up there, and I do say edging up there. I'm not exactly in the age group yet. I haven't hit 65 yet, but anyway. So I'm hanging on to that one. But anyway, so there's that. But I think there's also freedom because, and just, this is just simple. The Lord says we can worship with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So we should also be able to think fairly clearly. So here it is. A lot of our youth are fine. We actually have a huge percentage of people that even if they get the COVID virus, do not have symptoms or don't get sick. The death rate is really, really low. But here's the thing. It's different in different places. So here in Orange County where we are, we thank God we are in great shape with regard to this so far, as opposed to places like New York and all those. So we have to account for the differences there. And so that's another reason. Plus, I don't know. I liked our president saying, I'm going to back you churches up. That sounded pretty good. As far as I'm concerned, when I heard him say that, I heard that right from the throne room of God. And I'm just going to appeal to the highest authority. First to God. He said, okay. And our president said, okay. Told him to say the president's okay. So that helps a lot, I think. Makes me feel good. Feel better about this. One thing, if I could just encourage everybody, though, when you come, just be careful. I had some, I think I was up, I don't know why, I was up real late last night. And I'm just hanging around, falling in and out, you know, watching the news a little bit. And this guy came on there, and he's at a hospital in New York, and it's a COVID-19 hospital. And he was actually filled with a little joy as I'm watching the broadcast, and I'm wondering, what in the world? You know, he said, listen, I have really good news. And so he told the good news. He said, the good news is we found out a lot about this disease. And one thing we found out is just don't touch your face. He said, the masks are okay. They do all right, you know, and we are all masked and ready. But he said, the main thing, he said, I do when I'm in the hospital and away from the hospital is I don't touch my hands to my face. So he said, and the gloves help us, if anything, putting gloves on help us to remind us not to put our hands to our face. So just don't do that. So I think as we come, don't do that. Don't put your hands in your face. And also don't shake people's hands. You can elbow them or something. Don't get too close. And you know what? It's going to be hard for us a little bit because we all love to hug around here so much and all that. And some of us have huggies worse than others, but it's okay. We're just going to have to avoid that for now. And again, just wait. This thing's going to be over before you know it. We're in a season of transition. By the way, we've already been through pandemics. 1969, Hong Kong flu, 100,000 people died across America, but we didn't shut down the whole nation. I have a particular opinion about that. One thing I think all of us should be praying as the church, and I just encourage you all to pray more than anything else, is not only for our freedom, but also for people, the freedom for people to make a living, for them to go back to their jobs. If they don't go back soon, and if we don't get this taken care of, I'm of the conviction that actually the cure is going to be worse than the disease. We're trying to isolate and do all this stuff, and we're going to be in a world of trouble if people don't go back to work soon. And I'm praying for all of you. We have a unique anointing in our church to pray for jobs. You might tune in on our Wednesday morning prayer meeting for businesses. And by the way, as I start this service, I just want to remind you again of presenceu.com. We haven't been sitting around in our hands. We've been very, very busy. The warehouse has been extremely busy as an essential business. But also, we've been having all kinds of times where we're meeting in all kinds of configurations. I mentioned my Wednesday prayer meeting for business people, and we pray specifically over finances, and you're able to join that. And all the other lists of things. And so go to presenceu.com or go to our website, and you can see all the different small groups that we have. And it's interesting because they've been doing this Taste and See class on Friday mornings with the women. It's just been outstanding. That Margaret Feinberg, she outdid herself this time. I've been listening in. And so the other morning, Janice has this amazing dream. And in this dream, she sees Lynn Miller right in her face saying, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." So that's going to be the title of our sermon today, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." But Lynn Miller is significant because she's our children's pastor, but many of you know she's been through serious, serious illness and sickness for a lot of her life. And the illness and sickness mainly is in this crippling disease in her bones. And when she first came to the Lord, as we read through the Psalms, we're going to be in Psalm 34, where that taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a scripture there about that. We're going to read that whole psalm. But in that psalm, which came to be her favorite song, this is Lynn Miller, our children's pastor, there's one line in there that changed her life because she'd had bones that had been breaking repeatedly because of the disease she had. And the promise, verse 20, "He protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. Not one of them will be broken." And so Janice having that visitation and then being reminded of Lynn, who actually hadn't had a single broken bone since the time she got saved and since she took hold of that promise. And so it's interesting, the verses before said, "The righteous person have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all." And so I want to just talk about this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." This Psalm 34 is so magnificent. If I just read the psalm, it would be probably enough. I could probably sit down, but I won't do that. And by the way, the most painful thing of this whole thing is I got to preach shorter. So because obviously I've got kids in here. We're going to have an hour and 15-minute service, which is actually going to be for me like walking on water. I have no idea how in the world I'm going to do that. So maybe I'll just do a two-year, hey, that's a good one too, a two-hour sermon today to get it all out of my system so I can be ready to be abbreviated next week. Anyway, if you could pray for me, pray about that, because the whole service, it's going to feel like, I'm going to feel like I'm on, fast forward, or like one of the chipmunks, talking too fast. It's just going to be like, wow, for us, this is like hard for us because we're not used to this. But anyway, we're adapting. So like I said, I remember the flower. It's opening up. It's going to be beautiful. And I'm just grateful that we have permission from the Lord, and then permission from his delegated authority, the president, and all the other governors that are catching up with God's design and desire for churches and for free expression. So let's just begin reading from Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now, as we go through this, you're going to see all these amazing promises for us. This is one of the greatest songs full of promise for God's people. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. How many know we need a few fears to be delivered from these days? All my fears. Not just one or two, but all. Every one of them. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, I do. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles, even COVID-19. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Every evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. I really like that. I like that whole thing. Again, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So we're going to talk about taking refuge in him. By the way, that class, Taste and See, is still going on. And it's not Friday at 9:30. And you can get all the information and how to get on the Zoom there. And the link is there. And I just encourage all you ladies to join it. It's awesome. But anyway, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So this actually is a sermon about how to do business in difficult times. It's a sermon about how God works above everything else in our life, how God works and how to interact with him, how to get things from him and ask things for him from him, and he gladly gives them. So the first few verses really talk about getting heaven's attention. I think a lot of people have been trying to get heaven's attention, but here's the fastest way you can do it. We find out the fastest way you can get God's attention is to worship and praise him. It's the language of the angels. We can taste the Lord in worship and perceive his goodness even before we get our answers to prayers. That's one thing I love about worship. We were worshiping in here, and you can feel God. You can feel that he's good. When you worship, that's one of the great things we like about worship. We're not just worship so we can sing some songs, and that's something we did through the centuries, and we fulfill it. We worship God, know to feel God, to feel especially the dominant part of his character, his goodness. And his love. Man, and when you guys were singing, and just thanking the worship team, and I'm just so grateful for all the worship teams and the beautiful anointed worship. But the most important thing is I just see God. I can feel God. I can taste God, literally, as I worship. And there's a couple of passages that help us understand why that exactly is. First of all, it's interesting. In verse 2, where he says, I will glory in the Lord. Actually, it should be translated, I will boast in the Lord. Worshiping in affliction is actually boasting in the Lord. I like to boast in the Lord in that way. I don't like to be arrogant, but when I worship, I'm boasting in the Lord. I'm telling all about what the Lord does, what God does for me, and what God's going to do to the world and over the world. So when we worship, we're actually boasting in the Lord, and this is the kind of boasting that God really does like. He really likes that part. Praising, praying, and giving thanks in all circumstances are God's will for us. And they pave the way, therefore, for deliverance. They pave the way for deliverance. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And because actually they give us this alternate lifestyle, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of trial. Look at this. And this actually tells us clearly, if you want to know what the will of God is for you during this time of COVID-19, I'm just going to give you the will of God. Everybody ready? This is the will of God for you. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Rejoice always means don't become a part of the fabric of the naysayers and the negativity and the depressed people and the worried people and the terrified people. Rejoice always. We stick out when we do that. Rejoice always. Not just in the prayer meeting, not just in a worship meeting, but in your countenance. Just carry it. I just love the warehouse during this time. I've been working over there a little bit, and I just like it so because our people are so different. They're working in there, you know, and people are coming in there and buying things and stuff. But the atmosphere is so great because of this rejoicing, because we just carry a light. We have something inside of us, and people can notice it. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice. Sing. Worship like we did just a few minutes ago. And then he says in the very next verse, don't quench the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is what resides inside us. The Spirit of God is what reveals God. The Spirit of God inside us. We are supernatural beings and people. We become born again. We literally become born into a different reality. And in that different reality, that different born again space, the will of God for us is, look, I took care of the hard stuff. Rejoice, pray continually, give thanks. And when you do that, I can't help but come. I can't resist you, really, I think is what's being said here. Matter of fact, this is how we enter the very presence of God. If you look at Psalm 100, for example, which is an incredible revelation of God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. He likes that. Know that the Lord is good, as he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now he says, now here's how you approach God. Here's how you get into his presence. I mean literally into his presence. So it's an allusion to the Old Testament temple where the covenant presence of God resided in that Holy of Holies. Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. So one thing I just encourage you all to do during this time that we're in is get heaven's attention. When you start giving thanksgiving, even in the midst of the difficulty and the inconvenience and the worry and the fear, as you become a person of thanksgiving, you get heaven's attention. You just entered the gates. And if you want to go a little deeper, you go to his courts with praise. You give thanks to him and you praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. He is faithful and he is good. That's why you can taste and see that the Lord is good. And you get your first taste through understanding worship, praise, thanksgiving, and prayer. We do things different. We are spiritual beings. We go to church, we do normal things like everybody else, but there's something more than a meeting at hand here. And by the way, it's a really good reason to meet. Because God inhabits the praises of his people, plural. So God resides. God rests. We don't go to church as religious duty. We go to church because it pleases God. He likes it, and his presence comes. And by the way, his presence isn't stingy. It isn't just putting a happy face on a bad thing. Actually, healing comes. Whatever's in the supernatural Father of God, Father God and his Son and the Holy Spirit, it's possible when the people of God gather. So it's just a statement of liberty and freedom. It's a statement of the presence of we are his people and he's our God. And he comes and we taste him. We can feel his goodness everywhere. If you look at your outline, the second thing is through this wonderful Psalm 34 is just calling on the Lord at all times. What an amazing promise comes out of this Psalm 34. It's just so beautifully put. And it's our greatest privilege. It's amazing. Sometimes people stop calling when they get afraid or they get shamed or feel alone. But that's the time you're supposed to call. He likes that part. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. How many fears would that be? All. So we actually exchange our fear for the fear of the Lord. There's a little transaction that happens there. Notice the alls as I go through this. Let's read on through here. Verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called. Don't forget to call. He's at home. He don't even need a cell phone. He's home. Always home. Just call out. Just wherever you are.
wherever you are, in the hospital, out of the hospital, in your car, wherever you are, on a ship, in an airplane, call. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of, there it is again, all his troubles. And here we see this verse 7, powerful. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. So I got an angel of the Lord encamped around me, and you have too, and around our church. And it's so important to realize that and remember the angel of the Lord encamps. He doesn't just come in and out. He hangs out. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you as holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. So there's this fear. We fear the Lord, but we're not afraid of everything else, right? The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord, they lack no good thing. The Hebrew word for called is interesting. See it again in verse 6. This poor man called. It's interesting, that Hebrew word, because it's not a random outcry. It actually refers to a specific message to a specific recipient for a specific purpose. So when you call, just don't moan and yell and cry out. Call out. What do you need? What do you need? Call out for that specific thing. And he honors that. He likes it. He appreciates it. It's part of what it means to taste and see that the Lord is good. Fearing the Lord means turning to the Lord to take refuge from our problems. What we say out of our mouth is incredibly important. Our words and faith activate angelic activity for our benefit. That's why we see the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. And then, if you look, there's a couple of outstanding passages that maybe you've never seen before. I want to just think about this. When you call out, when you speak to God, it activates angelic activity. I want to show you from Psalm chapter 91. It's a particular powerful, wonderful psalm. I love this psalm so much. And it's just a protection psalm. But it's filled with wisdom for us and encouragement for us. Let's read verses 9 to 16. Listen to this now carefully. If you say, so something's coming out of your mouth. Something's coming out of your mouth. You're calling to the Lord. The Lord is my refuge. I like that. God, I declare today, you are my refuge. Matter of fact, if you're with me here, I just listening now, just say, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my refuge. Lord, I make you my refuge. You're my dwelling. You're my refuge. Now look what it says the next verse. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. You mean I just got to call out? Yes. That's what you got to do. Call out. You're my refuge. You're my protector. Then the very next line. For what? He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, on the COVID virus. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him and I will protect him. For what? He acknowledges my name. He called out my name. Oh my gosh, could it be more simple than that? He will call me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Could it be any more simple than that? I call out and the angels show up. I really like that idea. And then we think of Daniel chapter 10. And this is really interesting because it shows us how this whole process works and how much a part of the solution to our problems we really are. You don't want to shut the church up. We're the solution to this whole thing. You want to get out from underneath this mess? Well, you got to appeal to not the president. You got to go a little bit higher than that. Chinese premier ain't going to do either. You got to go. Can't go to even an angel. You got to go appeal to the one who made the heavens and the earth. He's in charge of everything. And his son Jesus, through which we come to the Father. So here's an interesting thing, though. God makes us a part. We rule and reign with him as believers. So you want the ruling and reigning believers who know how to call out on your side, especially in a time of national emergency. And thank God some of our politicians have a good sense to understand that. And I just think that's amazing. We should all be thanking God that they have the good sense to understand that God is the solution ultimately to all of these issues. Now, I'm not saying we don't have common sense. I'm just saying ultimately God has the key to whatever is going on right now in our environment. Now look at this, Daniel chapter 10. So this guy lived way back in the time of the Persian Empire, and he had been carted off to Persia from Israel. And he was had found favor in the courts, wherever he went, with regard to, by court, I mean the government, because he had so much wisdom. He had so much anointing on his life, and he just would rise up. Plus, he had a prophetic mantle on him. So they would come to him for answers. By the way, that same prophetic mantle rests on the church. Rests on the church. In the year of Cyrus, king of Persia, but I was just looking. I can't stop. I can't pass that point. I tell you, there has been so much prophetic activity before the elections and all kinds of things, and many things. I'm just so proud of some of the prophetic things that have happened in the church and have come to pass. It's just so encouraging to know that there are still prophets and prophetic utterance going, shaping governments and the kings of the world. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was also called Belteshazzar. His message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of a message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. Now, by mourning, he's talking about fasting and praying. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotion at all until the 3 weeks were over. And so I just wanted to set the stage. That's what Daniel's doing. He understands there's something going on in the heavenly, something going on in the environment, and he understood it had national significance like us. So he begins to pray. He begins to call out and ask God, what's going on here, right? And so let me get my way. So we'll go to verses 12 to 14. I'm going to skip ahead. So an angel shows up. Remember, we're talking about calling and the relationship of dispatching angels and how it affects angelic activity. So look what he says. This vision he has of an angel comes, and he's freaked out. I mean, he goes pale. He's helpless. He's hearing him speaking. And he's listening. He's falling to a deep sleep. But look at verse 10. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. Did you know every believer on this side of the resurrection is highly esteemed? How do I know that? Because Jesus Christ shed blood for you, died on the cross to have you as his honored son and daughter. You're highly esteemed. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, to humble yourself before your God. In other words, from the first day you began to pray, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. But it's been a time now. It's been much later now when this guy comes. But he says, listen to this. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. So I couldn't come and give you the answer, but I was fighting with another demonic power. I'm the prince of your people, but the prince of the Persian kingdom was resisting me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. Calling on the Lord. So what you're doing is you keep on calling. One of the reasons why you keep on calling out is because it fuels the angels who are in a battle themselves. So you keep on praying, and your praying actually affects the heavenlies and causes things to change. And so this Persian king, which is a demonic power and entity over Persia, was actually eliminated because of the prayers of the saints fueling the angelic hosts. Ooh, that puts a whole other viewpoint on calling the Lord. You're not just calling out of desperation. God, help me, help me. That's okay. It's a good place to start. But what's involved there is far more profound. Church, call on the name of the Lord for your country. Call on the name of the Lord for your family. As soon as you do, you cause angelic activity to happen. It's amazing. God's eyes are on the righteous, and he listens to the cry of those who fear the Lord. And let me just say this, and show mercy to others. So I want to just read again from Psalm 34. So there's something about this showing mercy that's tangled up in this thing, and these next few verses. I just want to just talk about it, and just talk about maybe in this context, maybe some of our responses to others as we live out this time, this disease in our midst, and the confusion. Psalm 34. We're going to now read from verse 11. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and delivers them from all their troubles. Now, interesting enough, that section there is actually quoted by Peter. So when we go all the way back to 1 Peter, Peter makes some comments on this section of Scripture and adds some words that I think are incredibly relevant for the time and day that we're living in right now. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Okay. Do not pay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So what I'm doing right now is I'm bringing the horizontal part of this to us. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Now, during this time, we do not want to suffer for doing evil. Okay? So important. We have right now a problem. This is an election year. And so we have all kinds of agendas flying around. So let's just stick to God's agenda, okay? Stick to God's agenda. Go to the one that's over all the authorities and all the vying parties for authority. And let's appeal to him and let's ask him to change things. But in this process, Peter is actually quoting this Psalm 34, 12 to 17, some of the things I've just read in Psalm 34. But he's interesting. He gives this take. And so I just want to go back through this, verses 9 and 10 from 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Good advice. Repay evil with blessing. So let's do that. Let's do that. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So Peter's got some really good advice in these days, just like Psalm 34. He's quoting this passage, but he's got some advice in the context of this Psalm 34 passage of calling out and seeing the Lord's deliverance. He's saying, you know what? Of those around you, repay evil with blessing and watch your speech especially, so that you may what? Inherit a blessing. For everyone who would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. So be careful how you talk about your leaders, people maybe that have a different opinion than you do. I've been really careful about this. I've been trying to watch my tongue, what I say. I don't want to be cursing guys. I don't want to be blessing God on the one side and cursing God on the other side. You know, especially think about this. All the unbelievers, you know, I'm going to say this respectfully, but they actually haven't met God yet. When they do, they'll be wiser. And so, but in the meantime, you know, they were like we were before. And so I want to make sure I don't curse those people. I want to make sure my speech is filled with blessing. And then verse 15. Let's be prepared to give a gentle and respectful answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. So by God's grace, I think we should probably be standing out. We should be standing out. So be prepared to give an answer. And matter of fact, could I just say this to you? Exhort everyone. If you ever gave an answer, do it now. People are wide open. One of the things I like about working at the warehouse is meeting people. And I'm so easy to talk to them about anything. I mean, about anything, about Jesus, about God, about whatever. They are so open. The reason why people are so open is because all the stability, the things that we depend on stability and the things that wore us out, like driving hours up and down the freeway, and routines, and everything's been disrupted. When everything gets disrupted, sometimes that has like a casing around your heart with the worries of everyday life. Now when those worries are shuffled and rearranged and we're worried about basic things, oh my goodness. What a time to be ready to give an answer. Please, if you ever witnessed, if you ever shared, if you ever had a dialogue, matter of fact, you can even start up before they even ask you any questions. Because I guarantee you, once you go down this road, they're so hungry, they'll ask you questions. And I'm telling you, I'm having that happen to me, and it's going to happen now. So be prepared to give a gentle and respectful answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have. And third thing, keep a clear conscience. Keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Especially in the slander department, when you get slandered or you're seeing people slander, it's God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So this is our time to shine, to bless, and to stay away from anger outbursts and even, you know, people that may be of very different persuasion than us, you know, and even arguing with your relatives and friends. You get the idea of all of this. His eyes are on the righteous. He listens to the cry of those who fear the Lord and show mercy to everyone. So the thing that qualifies us first and foremost with our righteousness is simply that Jesus Christ became the substitute for our sins. He's covering us. So we're righteous because of Jesus, not because we're so super duper, even if we have the best ideas. Second thing is, part of righteousness is being gentle and humble of heart, repaying evil with blessing, and being a light in very dark spaces, okay? This is really, really important. When we show others the mercy we've received from God, we receive good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Luke 6, 35 to 38. So let me just tell you what I mean. I want to read these scriptures really particularly. They're some of the most powerful scriptures. And good advice for today is the Lord is on the righteous. Luke chapter 6, verses 35 to 38. I just love to read these verses. I know pretty much by heart, but I just want to make sure I get every detail of this one right, because this is powerful for the season we're in right now. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Now here, do not judge, and you not be judged. So I'm working on keeping that out of my spirit. Don't condemn, and you not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, so it's interesting. Forgiveness and all this, we're going exactly opposite everybody else. We're forgiving and we're giving. Matter of fact, this is the greatest time for us to give lots of latitude to people, measure out goodness to them and mercy to them when we need mercy so bad ourselves and for our own families. Give and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured in your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Man, I'm going to measure out some good stuff, man, because I'll tell you what, I need a lot measured back to me right now. I need time, I need money, I need all kinds of things, our health. Wow, what a prescription for the hour we live in. God's eyes are on the righteous. He listens to those who fear Him and show mercy. But there's a little backdrop to this as well. Give and it should be given. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. God is attentive to your righteousness. So at the end of this, don't forget to cry out. You are heard. God will deliver you from all your troubles. Aren't you glad that word all is in there? I'm glad all is in there. That includes everything we could think of. So last thing. So you that are following the outline, just want to just read this last part of Psalm 34 again, and we'll finish for today. Psalm 34, we're just going to read now verses 18 and 22 and go back through those. Again, some more beautiful, amazing verses. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. He protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked, the foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. So we can take refuge in these broken times. The Hebrew word for broken literally means to break in pieces. It often appears in the context of violence. I tell you, it feels like violence has been done to us. And there's a lot of people that are just feeling a little bit down. And if you're brokenhearted, here's a great promise. The Lord hasn't gone on a vacation anywhere. He's close to you. Very, very close. Matter of fact, the more broken you are, the closer He is in some ways. It's just a matter of acknowledging Him. I love Isaiah 57:5. He says, you know what? 57:15. The Lord says, I live in a high and holy place. I think all of us Even unbelievers think of God as somewhere in a high and holy place, even if they haven't come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. But, you know, we all know God's up there somewhere. You know, somebody's up there somewhere. Some people don't believe that. But look what he says. It's interesting. But also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. So if you're feeling kind of down and lowly in spirit, what an incredible opportunity. What an incredible opportunity to live in the place where God lives. He lives in a high and holy place, but it says in Isaiah 57:15, He also lives. He also with the one who is contrite and lowly in heart, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So in these two amazing places. And so if you're a little broken right now, God's close. And if you take one step, one word, as we said earlier, just call on Him, He will come. And your condition of your heart, I found many, many times when I've been in that place, we call that the love of the Father. And it's just so amazing how the Lord comes. Even when there are many troubles, the Lord delivers us from them all. I think those verses in Psalm 34, I just want to reiterate those verses. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Verse 19, we might have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from all. Sometimes we think, well, man, this one's a little complicated. Matter of fact, almost all problems are like that, you know? Boy, I've never been this way before. How could He deliver me from this thing? The Lord will rescue His servants. No one who takes refuge in will be condemned. Everyone finds rest. Everyone finds answers. No one's left out. Aren't you glad that's true? Even when there are many troubles, the Lord delivers us from them all. I like this last part on the outline. I'm just going to read from Proverbs 24:16. We don't live a pain-free life, but we have a mighty deliverer. I like this verse. Listen to this. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. So, in the end, the righteous are going to be standing through this season. We might fall. We might have a couple of bumps along the way, some disappointments. We might have some job loss. We might have some illness or sickness. But in the end, even if we fall several times, we're restored. We're restored. God makes a difference in us. Psalm 34. What an incredible expression, Lord, of Your grace and mercy on us. We declare that today. Even when we're stumbling, we're still going to get up. We will not fall. We will not give up. Matter of fact, part of that is on you. When you fall, when there's a difficulty, keep rising. Keep coming. The Lord will catch you. The Lord's on your side. I like that part of when I call to Him, angels automatically dispatched. And you know what? You might have to keep calling a little bit because you may be the fuel that is firing those angels to do their war. Somehow prayer is connected like that. I don't understand how God puts us in such a privileged position to be able to do that, to be able to pray and to affect heavenly and earthly outcomes and battles that are going on far beyond us. But that's the unique privilege of the saints of God. What a unique place. So this is a difficult time, but also an amazing time. An amazing time to activate angels. An amazing time to find the resting place of the Lord in the contrite place. And though we've been broken, maybe there's been some hardship and stuff, the Lord's with us. I love that word, Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we just declare Emmanuel today with us. Why don't you pray with me for a moment as I close? Lord Jesus, I pray right now, as we just take this moment to turn our hearts toward You and to call out to You, we receive Your comfort. So the room's empty, but my heart isn't. And you may be sitting there all alone in front of your television or your phone or wherever you are. I assure you, the presence of the Lord's around you. Taste. Taste. And see that the Lord's good. We're going to do a little worship here. I just encourage you to worship with us. Remember I said when we worship, it gets the attention of heaven. When we pray, when we give thanks. Change the atmosphere of your home. Change the atmosphere wherever you are right now. You can do it in an instant. And I pray as we sing, the Lord will just rest on you. You know, there was a song at the end you were going to do. Can you do that song? It's toward the end of your set list. Huh?
Nothing else?
Yeah. Do you mind doing that? I can feel that song. Kurt's a heart melter. When the anointing comes on him, he melts the heart. And God, we just want you. We just want you. Wherever we are, we just want you. Reveal yourself to us as we just worship you. Reveal yourself. Just like you said you would. Come, Lord. Bring the angels. We change the atmosphere.